Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yata dharma dayas charta.
Yata dharma dayas charta.
Budivaryanu kirtitaha.
Budivaryanu kirtitaha.
Natata vasudevasya.
Natata vasudevasya.
Mahima yanuvarditaha. Yata dharma dayas charta. Budivaryanu kirtitaha.
Budivaryanu kirtitaha.
Natata vasudevasya.
Natata vasudevasya.
Mahima yanuvarditaha. Yata, as much as dharma adayaha. All four principles of religious behavior.
All four principles of religious behavior.
Cha and artha. Purposes. Budivarya. By yourself, the great sage. Anukirtitaha.
Repeatedly described.
Da. Not. Tata. In that way. Vasudevasya.
Of
the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna.
Mahima.
Glories. He certainly. Anuvarditaha. So constantly described. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Although, great sage, you are very broadly described the four principles beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Purport, the prompt diagnosis of Sri Narada is at once declared. The root cause of the despondency of Vyasadeva was his deliberate avoidance of glorifying the Lord in his various editions of the Puranas. He has certainly, as a matter of course, given descriptions of the glories of the Lord Sri Krishna, but not as many as given to religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. These four items are by far inferior to engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. Sri Vyasadeva, as the authorized scholar, knew well this difference. And still, instead of giving much importance to the better type of engagement, namely devotional service to the Lord, he has more or less improperly used his valuable time, and thus he was despondent. For this it is clearly indicated that no one can be pleased substantially without being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, this fact is clearly mentioned. After liberation, which is the last item in that line of performing religiosity, etc., one is engaged in pure devotional service. This is called the stage of self-realization, or the Brahma-Bhuta stage. After attainment of this Brahma-Bhuta stage, one is satisfied. but satisfaction is the beginning of transcendental bliss. One should progress by attaining neutrality and equality in the relative world. And passing this stage of equanimity, one is fixed in transcendental loving service of the Lord. The conclusion is that in order to maintain the status quo of the Brahma-Bhuta stage, as also to increase the degree of transcendental realization, Narada recommended to Vyasadeva that he, Vyasadeva, should now eagerly and repeatedly describe the path of devotional service. This would cure him from gross despondency. It's not all Vyasadeva's fault. This is actually the way the Vedas are organized. The Vedas contain all knowledge for human beings and for higher beings also. Actually, the original Vedas aren't so much for the instruction of ordinary human beings. Rig Veda is really addressed to the devatas who are worshipped by the Rig Veda. It's really to be understood by the demigods, not by the human beings. The beginning of human knowledge is really in the Upanishads, where things are being explained philosophically in terms that ordinary human beings can understand. Even the earlier explanations in the Brahmana portions of the Vedas are very esoteric. And at least in Kali Yuga, human beings cannot understand them. Maybe in previous ages, people had much more intelligence, but ordinary human beings in our age cannot understand. And the Vedas present themselves to their audience according to the nature of the audience. Nigama Kalpa Toror. The Vedas are compared to a desire tree. The comparison is apt because they share the same quality of giving everybody what they want. Different people approach the Vedas with different kinds of desires, and the Vedas manifest themselves to those different people in various ways. Just as the Supreme Lord Himself appears in many different forms to different kinds of devotees, and to non-devotees, he appears in material forms. Similarly, the Vedas appear transcendentally and also materially, according to who's looking at them, who's hearing them. Yaska Muni, authority on etymology, Nirukta, wrote in his Nirukta text that every Vedic mantra can be understood on three different levels: Adi Bhautik, Adidaivic, and Adhyatmic. Every single mantra in the Vedas. There is a physical or a concrete understanding, just a basic mechanical understanding, just like there is glorification of the sun. Well, the sun is a planet, it gives heat and light. It's a physical phenomenon, the sun. You can understand the glorification of the sun as description of nature. And then there's Adidaivic understanding. There is the demigod, who is the Lord of the sun. And you can understand the mantra as worship of that Lord, Suryadev. But then there's Adhyatmic understanding also. Surya can be identified with Narayan. So thus the Brahmins chant the Brahma Gayatri mantra, worshipping the Devasya Bhargo, the effulgence of the sun. But that is understood as the effulgence of the personality of Godhead, Surya Narayan. That's the Adhyatmic understanding. But the Vedas present themselves, show themselves according to their audience. And because most people who approach the Vedas are karmis, therefore the Karmakanda seems to be most of the Vedas. 95% of the Vedic text appears as Karmakanda. This is just the appearance, because 95% of the followers of the Vedas are karmis. So there's a lot of karmakanda. Maybe 5%, maybe 8% jnanakanda. And only 2% bhakti kanda. Because only small percentage of even the pious population who have anything to do with the Vedas are seriously interested in the devotional service of the Personality of Godhead. So the Vedas don't show much about bhakti because there isn't an audience for it, or a small audience. So it's not Vyasadeva's fault. That's how the Vedas already have chosen to present themselves. Not much about bhakti. Vedeshu durlabham. Hard to find Krishna in the Vedas. Although it says, Krishna says, Vedeshu sarveshu hameva vedya. I'm to be understood, you know, by all the Vedas. Vedaischa sarvayar hameva vedya. I'm to be understood by all the Vedas. But not obviously. Not in a literal way. One has to dig into the deeper meaning and discover the adhyatmic meaning in the mantras, because they don't seem to be about Krishna, not directly. So Vyasadeva is being told, it's being presented by Narada as a chastisement. That is the prerogative of the guru, to chastise his disciple. Really, Vyasadeva is not at great fault. He simply presented the Vedas as they are. He's just the editor. It's not his fault the books were written the way they were. But still, he's being told very explicitly by Narada now that you've got to do something in addition to fill this gap. Dharma adayas charta. You've properly described anukirtita. Anu can mean various things. Here it means appropriately, sufficiently. Anukirtita, you've adequately described dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and moksha. Of course, the Vedic mantras are mostly dharma, religious duties. And that's the way Jaimini Rishi, in his Mimamsa Sutra, Purva Mimamsa Sutra, sees it. That the only really significant statements in the Vedas are the ones that tell you what to do. Karma Chodana. And other statements are just secondary. They're just glorification to encourage you to do what they tell you about the fruits and about the glories of the Supreme, maybe. But that's just to encourage you to do your duty. That's Jaimini's point of view. Karma Mimamsa. But that's only part of it. That's dharma. Artha and kama are also important goals of human life. Most people are not religious just for the sake of being religious. They want artha and they want kama. They want wealth and they want enjoyment. And that's why most people practice some sort of religion. You know, people go to church on Sunday, they come to the mandir and make donations and make a big show of bowing down in front of the deities and chanting stutis. But really, they do it because it's good business. They're viewed as upstanding, righteous citizens, and people will respect them because they're religious. Of course, there is some honest sentiment, but it's also mixed in with material motives. For most people, dharma is a stepping stone to artha and kama. So the Vedas, maybe not so obviously in the original Vedas, are also presenting the means of getting wealth and sense gratification. And then there are Vedic corollaries, books written by various sages that tell you more directly. Artha Shastra is a division of the Dharma Shastra. That especially explains for the kings how to acquire power. For the kings are not Vaishyas are interested in money. But artha takes a different form for the Kshatriyas. Kings are interested in power. You know, money is of secondary importance to a Kshatriya. What he needs is power. If he has power, he'll get money, no problem. But money without power is useless to a Kshatriya. A Vaishya is satisfied just with money. Kshatriyas are more noble. So the Artha Shastra is written for Kshatriyas to tell them how to get their Artha, their material assets of kingdom and power. It's Dharma Shastra, but it's a special division. The original Dharma Shastras, like the Manusmriti, and before that the Dharma Sutras, were written especially for the Brahmanas. Brahmanas are interested in maintaining Dharma, but they have a Brahminical point of view. So, but the Kshatriyas have a more specific interest. They're interested in Dharma as the means to getting power. So Chanaka Muni, in his Arthashastra, has, for the kings, explained especially how to get and hold on to power. And then, what are the religious duties involved in securing that power? You know, how to do the right thing in order to get your power. That's Arthashastra. And then there's also Kama Shastra, telling you how to enjoy sense gratification, written by other Munis. And Moksha, liberation. Upanishads teach a lot about how to gain liberation. About what is supreme and what is the means of attaining union with the supreme, of liberation from the cycle of birth and death. This is taught especially in the Upanishads. So all of this has been explained. Vyasadeva and his disciples, Jaimini was a disciple, others are disciples and disciples of disciples of Vyasa. Vyasa wrote some things himself. His disciples finished up the work by compiling secondary texts. Anyway, all this has been described adequately. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. But this is not the complete success of human life. We know, because we're hearing it from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls prema the panchama purushartha. There's a fifth goal of life that should not be neglected, because it's the real goal of human life, the real perfection, without which your life is incomplete. And that is love of God.
Hare Krishna.
Prema Pumarto Mahan. In his Chaitanya Mata Manjusha commentary on the Bhagavatam, the early devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srinath Chakravarti, has explained the basic doctrine, basic philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. Adadyo Bhagavan Vajesha Tanayas Tadama Vrindavanam Ramya Ka Chirupasana Vajavadu Vargena Yakalpita.
Oh, sorry.
Shrimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatradaro Nokparaha. These are the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The Supreme Lord who is to be worshipped is the son of Nanda Maharaj. His personal abode is Sri Vrindavan. The most favorable form of worship that pleases him the most is that which is practiced by the young gopis of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect scriptural authority. And prema, Pumarto Mahan, is the ultimate goal of life. Very basic philosophy of Lord Chaitanya in very basic terms. Essential doctrine of the Gaudiya Sampradaya is that the real goal of life is prema. But it's not just Lord Chaitanya conceived of this idea. Here, Sri Narada is teaching it to Vyasadeva. That you've explained Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, but there is more. You have to explain devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we understand the purpose of all devotional service. Bhakti is not just a sadhana for mukti. Bhakti is a sadhana for bhakti. Bhaktiya Sanjataya Bhaktya. By practicing devotion, you develop loving devotion. Two different meanings of the same word. The Vaidhi Bhakti is the regulated practice of devotion. But what purpose does that serve? Not just liberation or anything material. The purpose of practicing Vaidhi Bhakti is to attain spontaneous loving attraction to Krishna. That we understand also from the Bhagavatam. Bhaktiya Sanjataya Bhaktiya. So when Narada is telling Vyas to explain the devotional service to Krishna, it's understood that what he's aiming at is promotion of the fifth goal of life. The words may not be there explicitly, fifth goal of life, but that's what he's talking about. So those who complain that there's only four goals of life and there's no scriptural evidence for a fifth one, it's here in the Bhagavatam, in the instructions of Narada Muni. Hare Krishna. Okay, are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prem.
The other sampradayas, though they don't have the conception that prema is the highest goal.
Yes.
They consider moksha. But still, when they are, is it that they are really aiming only at moksha and working, or if they are worshipping Krishna nicely, isn't it implicit even without their knowledge that prema is the principle by which the whole thing is doing?
It may be implicit. Is implicit for everybody. I mean, it is the goal of life for everybody. But if a person doesn't know it and doesn't acknowledge it, it doesn't do him much good. The living entities remain forever in ignorance until they finally understand and acknowledge the importance of prema bhakti. You know, you can't pursue devotional service in ignorance. You must have tattva gyan. So if you don't recognize, if you don't know about the ultimate goal of life, you don't have any chance of achieving it. You know, it's not an easy goal to achieve. But at very least, you must know that it exists. If you don't know it exists, how are you ever going to get there? You never heard of the place. You're not going to make any endeavor to go there if you never heard of it. It's not that all the Vaishnava Sampradayas have no concept of prema. Sri Sampradaya, they're aiming for Vaikuntha Bhakti. They have a concept of love of God, but it is Aishwaryamai Prema. Yeah. That is also recognized by Rupa Goswami, but it is a different flavor of Prema. But it's authentic. Madhva Sampradaya, I'm not so sure what concept they have of prema. They understand bhakti to be the highest sadhana, but as far as bhakti being the goal, I'm not sure. And their concept of mukti is not very clear what it really involves. You know, what happens in mukti they don't really talk about, because it's such a rare thing from their point of view. After 100 lifetimes, a few people may get it. You know, mukti is so distant that there's no clear idea of what it is. But there is within the Vaishnava Sampradayas, there is some understanding of prema. It's not completely ignored. But you can't, I mean, the first step to beginning your progress toward attaining love of God is to have some basic philosophical understanding about it. Without that, you can't even begin to make progress in that direction.
Why the previous acharyas didn't mention it explicitly, like one measure, why didn't they mention that prema is, and we need to continue like this, why didn't they mention that prema is the highest?
Because that was Krishna's plan, that this would be revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not before. It's in the Bhagavatam, and a few devotees, even in the times when no one's teaching it, a few devotees could discover it. We have great devotees, Jayadev, Sridhar Swami, even before Lord Chaitanya, who understood a few. It's just the history, the way the Kali Yuga progresses. It was meant to be revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Other acharyas before him, Vaishnava acharyas, were empowered just to reveal part of the truth. Because there's a great demand for Mishra Bhakti. People would rather worship God and also maintain a material program also. So there's a much greater demand for Karma Mishra and Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti is most people are not interested in. So to service the demand for Mishra Bhakti, these other sampradayas are teaching. It's very an arpita charim chirat. Karunaya vartina kalau. It has been a long time since the secret of prema bhakti has been revealed in this world, except to a very few, you know, special souls. As far as public revelation, it's been millions of years since it's been revealed in this world. But only by the manifest by the. Avirbhav of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has this secret been opened up again. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
In Sri Sampradaya, the principle of prema bhakti, Andal, is there in Sri Sampradaya.
The Andal. Not just Andal, the Alwars in general are loving devotees. But what they don't have is they don't accept the idea of having a particular rasa. You know, they think that it's a limitation on your liberation to have only one rasa. They think, why can't you jump from one rasa to the other? So the same Alwar in the Tura Vaimoli, on one page he'll be speaking in the mood of Hanuman. The same poet on the next page will be speaking in the mood of a gopi, you know, jumping back and forth. So it's Vaikuntha Bhakti. They're actually in just Dasya Ras, but they can vicariously appreciate the higher rasas. You know, but actually they don't progress up to those higher levels themselves. This is vicarious. That's just appreciating someone else's devotion. But you're just on the level of Dasyam. Aishwarya Pradhan Dasyam. But it's prema, Yes. But who
Vadiraj, he wrote Jnana Mishra Bhakti.
Yes.
But in his personal kirtans, he mentioned Gopiras. All big poem is there.
Yes.
And Vadiraj and Padaraj also mentioned the Gopi.
They don't have a clear understanding of who the gopis are. They say that these are apsaras. According to Madhva, who are the best dasas, the best servants of God? Who? The demigods. Yeah, Brahma, Vayu, down the line, demigods are the best dasas. So their idea of servitude is not the servitude of Vaikuntha, but the servitude of the demigods in the material world. That's their idea of devotion. And that's Sakama Bhakti. Yeah, it's Mishra, Karma Mishra Bhakti.
Okay.
You mentioned about these five most important forms of devotion service.
Yes.
Rupa Goswami mentions about this.
One of them is
worshipping the deity.
Yes.
And then even if one doesn't have it, faith in this, but he performs, it makes him to progress very fast to achieve his goal.
Yes.
So what this doesn't work with, I would say, the bodies in, who worship deity, but they don't have understanding what they are.
You know, it's each of those, there's conditions put on them to worship the devotee, the deity with love. Not just formally, not just with awe and reverence, but with priti, with love. So it has to be a special mood of worship, not just pancharatrika worship, which is formal. Not just formal worship, but loving worship, bhajan. So the other sampradayas, very often they can't come to that level. They stay on the formal level of reverential worship. Study Bhagavatam in the association of Rasika Bhaktas. Yeah. You have to study it with Rasika Bhaktas. You find the Rasika Bhaktas, then you can study Bhagavatam according to the standard of Rupa Goswami. So I'm not saying that other sampradayas never practice these five, but they're being defined in very exacting terms at a very high level. Not ordinary deity worship, not ordinary study of the Bhagavatam, and so on. And not association with ordinary devotees, but with advanced pure devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And not just chanting mantras, but Nam Sankirtana, which must be, real Sankirtana must be done with love, not just mechanically. Yes?
We perform deity worship in this, also in the form of sadhana.
Yes.
So it also means that we cannot get the full potency of this.
No, sadhana includes, Raghunuga Bhakti is also sadhana. Sadhana doesn't not that you can't have love or bhava while you're practicing sadhana. Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion describes sadhana bhakti on the levels also of bhava and prema. So, I think you mean just, you know, following the rules mechanically. That kind of sadhana. Vaidhi. Just doing it out of duty because you don't have any attraction. No, but if you do it under the direction of Rupa Goswami and his followers, then that will awaken bhava. This version, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami's version of Vaidhi Bhakti, is organized in such a way as to awaken bhava and prema. You will, not just by doing the sadhana, but that will help open up, awaken love of God in the heart. And you, if you please Srila Rupa Goswami by following his instructions, then you'll get his blessings and the blessings of your guru and all the predecessors of your guru. It's the getting the blessings that's the real essential. It's getting the grace, the mercy, that really makes it successful. But this sadhana is special because it's the authorized sadhana of Lord Chaitanya and his followers. It's not ordinary worship. It's not ordinary chanting. It's not ordinary everything else. It's a special program.
One more.
Yeah.
Yesterday. So what is the statement from that Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on the Dhamma?
Garuda Purana. Quoted in the Tattvasandarbha. I don't know, maybe the exact verse reference is there, maybe it isn't. But it's from the Garuda Purana. Describing the glories in a few verses, the special features of Srimad Bhagavatam.
So, and not everyone accepts this statement?
Well, it just says, Bhashyo Yam Brahma Sutranam. This is a commentary on the Brahma Sutras. Mm-hmm. So that much they can accept. But we, Lord Chaitanya promoted that this is the only commentary we need. Other sampradayas are more or less interested in Bhagavatam, but sometimes they just give lip service to it. They don't, they sometimes are more interested in Vedanta Sutra. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.